Wasps. And first up, we will talk about what to do if you're stung. Kelly has got a lot of help and advice. Remember, honeybees only sting once.
And they die.
Wasps and hornets can get you over and over and over again. I didn't know that until 2 weeks ago. I thought they all died when they stung. Okay. That's it. We'll talk to you on the other side. Animal World continues right here until noon on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Listening to Martha Norwalk's Animal World right here on your alternative talk station, 1150 AM KKNW Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha with another Animal World tip. With the warmer weather coming, something I'm sure we'd all rather not think about, fleas. But if you want to keep fleas off your animal friends and out of your house, and if you'd prefer to do that holistically with all natural stuff rather than with toxic chemicals, now is the time to get prepared and start paying attention. The good news is, it's not difficult or majorly time-consuming to keep your animals and living environment flea-free, naturally. But you do need to know what you're doing, and there are four steps involved for complete success. Step one is preventative and involves making your dog or cat friend unattractive to fleas. Fleas are not attracted to healthy animals. They like animals that are unhealthy and physically out of balance, and one of the most important factors keeping your animals healthy is what you feed them. I recommend you start by feeding the highest quality, all-natural diet you can. This can consist of processed, dry and or canned, dehydrated, home-cooked, raw, or a combination of several of these types of food. Whatever you choose to feed, I suggest you add the Missing Link supplement to provide what's missing in the foods themselves, especially the omega-3 and 6 oils, essential for healthy skin. For critical flea months, say May through October or November, you can add a supplement to your dog or cat's food to help repel fleas. Bodyguard, a yeast and sulfur formula, and Vetline, yeast and garlic, are two products that I have found to be successful. Some animals may require additional supplementation to be healthy, like antioxidants, probiotics, or digestive enzymes. A good holistic veterinarian can help you get this right. The better you feed your animal friends, the healthier and less attractive to fleas they're going to be. Step two is to get rid of fleas on your animals and then keep them off. At this time of year, unless your situation is an unusual exception, you have no fleas on your animals yet. So right now, this step is all about paying attention and prevention, so the fleas don't get a jump on you and get established in your home and yard. If you allow your animals to leave your environment or take them off your property, especially if it's to a potential flea area, like a dog park, it's a good idea to spritz them with a natural herbal flea repellent spray. My favorites are products made with erigeron, also known as fleabane or neem. You can get these products from holistic vets or naturally inclined pet stores. I spritz Annie Golden Retriever before we go to a questionable area, and sometimes again before we come home. During flea season, which begins any time now, it's a good idea to do your regular flea checks on all your animals. Running a flea comb through your dog or cat's fur is one way to check. Comb down the middle of their back, be sure to comb around the base of their tail and also around their neck and chin. Another way is to roll them over and check their bellies, watching for fleas. For dogs with heavy coats, too thick for a flea comb, have them stand up, facing the same direction you are. Stand over them, and starting at the base of the tail, run your thumbs backwards through the fur, up the back to the neck, looking for running fleas or flea dirt. Flea dirt is tiny black specks made of dried blood. If you suspect you found some flea dirt, crush it on a wet paper towel. If it turns red, it's flea dirt. Time for a thorough flea combing. Remember to have a bowl of soapy water ready to dump any fleas you find into. Repeat this once, or preferably twice a day, until the fleas are gone. You might prefer to bathe your animal friend to kill fleas instead of combing. No need to use flea shampoo with insecticide. Any mild shampoo will kill fleas if you leave the lather on the animal for 2 to 3 minutes. Be sure to supervise and do not allow your animal friend to lick any of the shampoo. Step 3 is to get rid of fleas in your house and keep them out. If by chance you're an exception to have fleas in your house now or in the future, my first choice to get rid of them is Fleago, a safe powder you sprinkle on floors and fabric that dehydrates the fleas. It's available at any good pet store. If you do not have any fleas in your house now, just follow the rest of my 4-step flea program and you won't get any. Step 4 is to get rid of fleas in your yard, and this is probably the most important step of all. Keeping your outdoor environment free of fleas is truly the key to keeping fleas out of your house and off your animals. Now, you only need to do this step if you had fleas on your animal friends last year. If you did, then it's critically important to spray your yard with beneficial predatory nematodes. That's beneficial predatory nematodes. They are microscopic living creatures that eat the larvae of fleas. They also do crane flies. They come in suspended animation, so to speak, and come alive when you mix them with water and spray the grassy and dirt areas around your house and yard. Because these nematodes are alive, you must wait to spray until the outdoor temperature is consistently above 50 to 55 degrees. Spray just before a rainfall or in the morning or evening and water them in well. They last about 6 to 8 weeks, and if you've had a serious flea infestation recently, you may need to spray twice the first year. The good news here is that once you get those fleas out of your outdoor environment and you practice step 1 and 2, you won't have to spray the nematodes every year. By the way, you can buy the nematodes at garden supply stores, some pet stores, and feed and grain stores. I know you may be thinking how much easier it is to use what I call the chemical quick fixes, like the liquid spot-on products, pills, or injections. And you absolutely can do that. It's your choice. But it is my opinion that these products can be dangerous to both our animal friends and our environment. And I think if you knew what I know, you wouldn't use them. Okay, so there you have it, Martha's 4-step flea prevention program. And if you need more detailed help or clarification, call me, because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up. Get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob-bob-bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And remember, we are now archiving shows, so you can click on the audio files link on the homepage, and listen to any of the past shows that you like. They're loaded an hour at a time, so if you're learning stuff today about bees, you might want to go back and listen to the first Sunday of July, because that was our round part one of bees and wasps and hornets and such. And the show for today will be loaded usually by the end of the day. Rhonda's got it up on the website, so you'll be able to tell folks about this show too if you want to share with them about bees and wasps. Now, if you need help with bees, that would be the honeybee types, that would be the swarm types. Kelly is available to collect swarms.
And also the Puget Sound Beekeepers website, PugetSoundBees.org. There's a whole group of us. We have to all work together. There's too many.
Yeah, because, not just one person can go after, but it's PugetSoundBees.org. PugetSoundBees.org, and there's a list of people that can help you with your honeybees. Also, if you want to call Kelly direct, her number is 425-891-8080. That's 425-891-8080. Kelly, you also have honey available and stuff. And
yeah, I sell honey and then have other honey products that I've made, honey soap, salves, all sorts of things, honeycomb.
And where can we find your products?
Calling me, because I do phone orders, or I have a farmer's market that I do this year on Thursdays. It's the Duval Farmer's Market. It's a small little market, but it's a family-oriented market, lots of things for kids.
And that's on Thursdays?
Yeah, 3 to 7, and it's on First and Stella. It's right there in the main part of Duval.
First and Stella?
Yes.
And in what hours did you say?
3 to 7 p.m.
3 to 7 p.m. every Thursday?
Yes. Till October 2nd.
All right. That sounds great. All right. And then if you need Doug's services, if you need him to come collect your wasps so their venom can be used to make... Is it actually, are they making vaccines to prevent allergies, or are they making anti-venom stuff, or what are they doing?
Well, I suppose anti-venom will work. It's actually an allergist would use it for a scratch test to determine which venom or which wasp you're specifically allergic to.
Uh-huh.
And then if you chose to enter the shot program, you could do that, and they would. It's pretty thin stuff, though. They dilute it to 100,000 to 1, but apparently it's enough to trigger a antigen response within the autoimmune system specific to that particular venom. That's what it's for. I guess vaccine was as good enough word as anything else. I mean,
okay. All right, so if you need to contact Doug for him to come collect your hornets, yellow jackets, or wasps, his number is 425-485-0103, 425-485-0103, or you can email him at venomcollect4free@comcast.net. All right, now we started to talk about... by the way, I want to let you know that we have open phone lines for the rest of the show. If you have a question about bees, hornets, wasps, or yellow jackets, now would be the time to give us a call. Local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Long distance within Western Washington, 888-298-KKNW, which is 888-298-5569. And you can send us an email while we're on the air to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Now, Kelly, we were talking about getting stung, and we've established that honeybees only sting once because their stinger is barbed and it sticks and it pulls out.
Yes, and most of the time when people say they've been stung by a bee, honeybee, they have not. It's been Doug's friends.
So if you're stung by a wasp or a hornet or
they're bright yellow.
A yellow jacket, their stinger doesn't stick in you.
They'll sting you again and again.
And they can sting you more than once.
Yeah, there is actually a slight barb there, but it's not enough for it to pull out. And, you know, usually after you've gotten stung once, you get the idea and get out of there, you know. That's basically, it's like Kelly says, you're in their space and they just want to get you out of their space. And, but after all these years, I've actually come to believe that one sting can be or is a blessing, just because it could be so many more. And, you know, that most of the time, the yellow jackets, the hornets, aren't going to send out the whole colony to go after something that's bothering the nest. They'll send out just a very few, maybe even one or two, you know. And again, a lot of times, if they've never been bothered and you jostle the nest when you're deadheading roadies or something like that, a lot of times they'll just, some of them will come out and they're kind of like more curious to what's going on rather than attack, because they haven't been imprinted on that yet.
Yeah, if they're not, if they're in the field, even wasps, yellow jackets, bees, bumblebees, if they're in the field or they're working, they're so focused on their job. They're not interested in you. Now, if you're by their nest, that's another story for any of the things we're talking about. But if you just see one or even at your picnic table, they're not going to sting you. And by you swatting at them, all you're doing is aggravating them. And you're asking for it. And I say if somebody gets stung and they're swatting at it, you deserve it.
The thing is,
sorry.
The thing is, those workers, whether or not they're bees or wasps, they actually, as far as being a social insect, the thing is, the workers have an assignment that they're doing. And, you know, there's control there. And again, if they were just going through midair, flying through the air, and to see a human being someplace or an animal, or at least with a wasp, to see a number of different colors, to be distracted like that and go peel off and go look at that or chase that around or sting it or whatever, and then to go get back on their main job, which is either food gathering or nest building material gathering, you know, there wouldn't be any control. It just doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm. And too,
so
people,
they really are not aggressive unless you're messing with them.
Well, and people like sometimes on bikes will be, you know, or people that have their window open and they have their hand out their window when they're driving. If a bee or a wasp or yellow jacket is flying and it hits you, it's like we talked about 2 weeks ago, it's like carrying a gun. I mean, it's not like it's just going to go off, but if you squash it or step on it, it unfortunately it will. There's not a safety on bees or yellow jackets.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
well, you did,
Dan,
last time. You said it's like a, you know, police officer carrying a gun doesn't mean they're going to fire it.
Yeah, yeah. And there's not too many disgruntled bees.
All right. We are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and then when we continue, first up, we're going to talk about what to do if you get stung. Kelly's got some helpful tips, so stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Naturally Four Paws is Kitsap County's health food store for pets, where pets are more than animals, they're family. Naturally Four Paws provides only the highest quality natural, organic, and holistic pet supplies for dogs, cats, birds, and small animals. Two state-of-the-art self-service grooming facilities, all with the highest level of personalized service. Naturally Four Paws is open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. on Sundays. Stop by their store in Silverdale or call 360-337-2444 to speak with their friendly and knowledgeable staff. Be sure to mention that Martha sent you. You can also contact them online or read about their philosophy, products, events, and services at naturally4paws.com.
Canine Hydrotherapy and Heavenly Spa's warm water healing pool offers pets a therapeutic and nurturing environment to assist in rehabilitation from injury, illness, or surgery, as well as maintaining the overall wellness of pets of all ages and abilities. Heavenly Spa, located in Fall City, maintains its pool at 92 to 94 degrees to aid your pet in achieving greater relief of muscle tension and increased range of motion. Warmth can assist in improving circulation, increasing flexibility, and promoting relaxation. When the benefits of warm water healing are incorporated with massage therapy, the results are remarkable. Heavenly Spa also offers massage and body work, self-swim, puppy parties, and holistic services. For more information, go to heavenlyspa.info or call 425-222-7221. That's 425-222-7221.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we'll say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. Hope you do it every Sunday morning. We're here 9 a.m. to noon right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's Bees and Wasps and Hornets and Yellow Jackets, Part 2. Kelly Louvier, beekeeper, is here. Doug Cheney, wasp expert and venom collector, is here. And Kelly, I promised, what do you do if you get stung?
Okay, first thing is to stay calm. Screaming, yelling, running around, that will make the venom spread through your blood system so much faster. So if you get stung by a honeybee, this is what I'm talking about. Now, the products I'll tell you that you can use will help with yellow jackets or wasps, but when I'm talking about scraping the stinger off, I'm talking about a honeybee.
Right.
So when you get stung, let's say you get stung on your arm, there's going to be a little stinger. It's going to look kind of slightly red or rust colored, and there might be like a little sac attached to it that could still look, it could actually be pumping, and that's the actual venom sac.
I've seen that,
Now, if you squeeze it, you actually shoot all of that venom into your body really quickly. So, important to scrape it off either with your fingernail or a credit card. You know, a leaf, something, a stick, something that's going to
scrape it out.
Scrape it out versus squeezing that venom in there. And then again, taking slow, deep breaths and trying to not move around a lot. Now, if you're having your throat close up and you can't breathe, none of this am I recommending. 911, get to a hospital. If you know you have problems with sting, you should. I have, you know, several EpiPens. I have one in my car, I have one in my suit. I have a prescription for that. Anyone can get a prescription for it. You go.
Are you allergic to bees?
I'm not, but I just feel like I should have one. I deal with it, and I'm around it. You know, I should always be prepared. So, and you can renew those prescriptions every single year if you're fearful of it. And an EpiPen is an emergency thing. It is not a thing you just get stung and you stick this thing into your leg. You need to apply the needle and then rush to the hospital. So if you get stung and you're just feeling the pain and it's starting to, it shouldn't swell too much if you get that stinger out. The swelling comes from all that venom. And it's not to kill you, it's to slow you down so that you can't keep going at that nest. It's to firm up your muscles. So if you scrape the stinger off, and then of course ice is a great thing to put on it. If you're at a place where there isn't ice, I always pack those emergency ice that you can just crack them and then they turn into ice. Those are great things to have in your car, camping, anything like that. But if you're in a place or you're a child and you don't have access to something like that, go to a water source or a place where there's rocks, even a rock in the ground, and pull it out and it will be colder, and just place it on there. If someone's in an emergency situation, my mom was with my dad years ago, and he got stung very badly, and she just put river rocks all over him and drove him to the hospital. So, you know, that's something you can always use as a cold rock or earth or anything like that to put it on to cool it down. Honey is a great antidote. Just put a little honey on it. Meat tenderizer. I just heard this. I haven't tried it yet, so don't count on this, but I heard a penny is great to put on because the copper neutralizes the sting. There's also something called Surfer's Salve, and you can get it at probably a PCC or Whole Foods. It has herbs in there, calendula, all sorts of other things, comfrey, that are great for stings. There's another product called Sting Stop. Again, that's Sting Stop, and it's a gel, and it's in a tube, and you can get that, again, at a PCC or a Whole Foods, any sort of health food store. And those are natural products. And then also, too, there's Benadryl that will reduce swelling. I don't pop a Benadryl the first time I get stung. You know, at this point, I really don't do anything, but any of these other things will help you at least.
I think tea tree oil works really well too.
I haven't tried that, but if it works, go for it. But most importantly is to stay calm and take some deep breaths. And with small children or babies, that's very hard because they cry, and that crying response sends all that histamine response through their whole body. And that's why a lot of people think that they're allergic. Of all the people that say they're allergic, there's maybe only 1% to 0.5% that is actually truly allergic to a sting. And so that's what Doug's work, when they're talking about testing all the different stings, a lot of times it's not even a honeybee that they're allergic to, rarely. So those are a couple things that will help.
All right. That's great. And we've established honeybees sting once because the stinger comes out and you've got to scrape that away, but wasps and hornets can sting multiple times. But Doug, you say that they really aren't horrible. They're just trying to get you to get away or leave them alone.
That's right. And I just thought of something, Martha, that a lot of times people will, you know, for instance, they might have one yellow jacket harassing them when they're picnicking, but they won't kill it because they think if they do, they're going to draw a whole thundering herd more of them. Now, maybe that works in the bee world, but let me put it like this. Over the years, I've certainly killed not 10 or 15 on my glove at one time or on my leg or something like that, but maybe one would get on there, and I've, you know, slapped it and squashed it. I have never, ever had a bunch of them
retaliate,
come after me.
Because you killed
them. Because of that. You know, I don't think that there's any, you know, I don't, you know, that's just something that I don't believe at all that you're going to. Maybe it happens with the bees, but I haven't had that experience with the hornets and yellow jackets.
With the honeybees, if you're out in the field or something like that and one stings you, they're not all going to show up everywhere. They're all working on their own blooms, and they're not even focused on each other. But in a nest, a colony, in a hive, if, let's say, I'm working my bees and I accidentally crush a bee, unfortunately, and kill one, they send out a scent, which is a pheromone. It smells kind of like bananas. And that scent is to alert the others that something is going on. Now, they'll tolerate quite a few crushings or killings before they really start to activate and send out troops. But they will. And I think that
most...
Most
if you kill enough honeybees, they will eventually send the troops after you.
Yeah, they do. But I think most animals have some sort of response set up with their fellow friends. You know, even when you kill spiders and leave them around, I think other spiders pick up the fact that something happened and they kind of stay clear. But this is just my personal thoughts and a few other friends that I have.
The thing is that I think how this got going is that somebody would, once you get stung, and maybe you get stung a couple of times, generally you start flailing and running, you know, and maybe the motion starts attracting some of the other workers that, you know, again, it depends on how much you, how seriously you've traumatized or upset the nest, whether you've run a line trimmer through it or, you know, parked your horses over the top of a ground nest or run a post hole digger into the ground, you know.
If we can think about these colonies and nests as homes and relate it to ourselves and how we feel about our homes and protective of our space and our property, if we can get this mindset about all animals, we wouldn't think that they're vicious and awful and scary. We would realize that they're just protecting their young and their family members. And we do the same exact thing.
Yeah.
There's no different. But because it's okay for us to kill them, but it's not okay for them to come at us. And that's an imbalance that we have in our belief systems with animals. And it's got to change.
Yeah. So if you're having a picnic and there's a yellow jacket or something around, they're focused on, they want the food. They're not
hungry.
Coming after you to sting you.
Exactly. And a lot of times people will set a little plate, as it were, on the peripheral area of the picnic area. And apparently, you know, that will draw them to that rather than into the...
Yeah, I usually always do that. Make a deal with them. Say, here, I'll put this over here. You guys eat this.
You can
this.
Do it before your party, too.
Yeah,
like an hour before, a couple hours before, put it off to the side away from people. But you're also calling them to your area at the same time. You could just maybe put your intention out there that they don't come hang out at your picnic. That might work, too.
Yeah, well, because they understand that kind of communication.
I think so.
Couple other things, too, Martha, that your reader or listeners might find interesting is that I don't really think that, again, this, I'm speaking about hornets and yellow jackets and not bees. I don't really think that they perceive color. Mm. I think what they're seeing out there or experiencing or recognizing is contrast. And, of course, if you had dark blue in shadow, it's going to be dark. If you have dark red in shadow or green or whatever, it's going to appear dark. But what they're seeing is, you know, light to dark. And so, you know, I've heard this, again, this is gets into calling wasps bees, and you get this kind of this cross-pollination of stuff that's happening with bees is going to happen with them. And the thing is that I don't believe that, now again, this may be a bee thing, but as far as the hornets and yellow jackets, I don't think there's any correlation about wearing pink or, you know, any pastel colors. Mm-hmm. Is going to draw the yellow jackets to you. I don't necessarily think that wearing perfumes out there is going to draw them to you, although again, you do get what I call curiosity seekers, and you know, you might get a stray that maybe it's not working exactly right up in the brain area, and you know, they kind of could pick that up and they kind of come around and see what's going on, you know. But I don't think that wearing colors out has any effect as far as attracting the wasp. And also, I don't think that, you know, as far as smells go, I think that that's kind of questionable, too.
Oh, okay.
Well, as for honeybees do see color. The one color that they do not see is red. They view it as black.
Oh.
But they do see color, and they also see things that we don't see called ultraviolet light. So when they look at flowers, there's literally tracks and arrows that the flowers produce in their petals that beckon them into the center to get that nectar. So they have extraordinary views of our world that we don't even get to see. But honeybees, if I was to work my colony, I would not wear black, brown, wool, animal products, because, you know, furs and things like that, because I'm going to smell more like an animal. Also, if I'm sweating or I have perfume or deodorant, not good, because it's a smell. It smells like musk. It smells like a human or an animal, and they're going to be much more protective if you're hanging around like that. So I tell people, if you're around honeybees or you're a beekeeper and you're working them, stay away from brown, black, red, dark colors. And they are attracted to yellow. They are attracted to pastel colors. My sister, when we were little, she had little flower earrings, and they went right up to get some nectar out of it, but it wasn't a flower. So they are attracted to that. But if they're coming to you with your pastel colors, they're not coming at you to sting you. They're coming to check you out and see if you have nectar.
Right. Right. I usually tell them when they come fly around me, if it's, you know, a honeybee or bumblebees, usually the most, I just always say, I'm not a flower.
If you just,
they fly right away.
If you just relax for a minute, then they'll smell you and they'll size you up and they'll fly away.
All right. We are going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little more about the different kinds of bees and do you want bees? Is that a good thing to be doing?
Well, of course. We'll talk.
Oh, okay. Kelly says yes. We'll find out how. I don't know. Doug just crossed his arms. All right. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest standard of excellence for product quality, palatability, and customer satisfaction. They pride themselves on making only the highest quality, all-natural pet foods using the finest ingredients available. All of their products are made the Canada way, with superior quality in every bag and can, with no corn, wheat, soy, grain fractions, fillers, or byproducts. And they're naturally preserved. Discover for yourself and your pets the benefits of feeding Canada and Feel-A-Day all-natural pet foods. Go to www.canada.com for more information.
Join Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m. right here on 1150 a.m. Brian Abker, Brian Bacon, Matt Zarter, and Gary Hill bring unique, entertaining, and thoughtful perspectives on Northwest sports and beyond. Visit sportstangle.com for more information. That's Sports Tangle every Monday night from 8 to 9 p.m.
Hey, if you've got dogs and cats, you need to know about my friends at the Academy of Canine Behavior and their cattery in Bothell. They're located right off of 405, just north of the 522 interchange. They've got the greatest doggy daycare center. If you travel the 405 corridor to and from work, easy to pop off the freeway, drop your dog off for the day at daycare, pick them up on the way home, and you can go home and relax. All you got to do is feed them. They're all worn out from playing at daycare all day. The Academy also offers a free one-hour behavior consultation. So if something going on with your dog friend, want some free help, the Academy of Canine Behavior, they're in Bothell. Phone number is 425-486-9567 or online www.aocb.com and tell them Martha Norwalk sent you.
Spread the word. Your favorite shows are on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, everybody, Martha Norwalk, and we're on the downside of this week's edition of Animal World already, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. So, Kelly, tell us about, do we want to do bees? What's that all about?
Okay, so, first of all, I'm just going to say a little bit about what kind of beekeeper I am. I don't use chemicals or pesticides in my hive, and that may sound like who would, but I can't speak for everybody else, but there's a lot of beekeepers that use chemicals and pesticides to treat for disease within the hive. Now, these are chemicals, and the labels state that you should have gloves and masks and things on to apply it, but they say that it doesn't get in with the honey or the products that they sell, and, you know, that's, I feel like it does, but that's debatable. You know, do your own research. So when I'm working with my bees, I try to be as natural as possible, give them the closest home that I can and the cleanest home, and not treat them with chemicals. I feel like another part of our honeybees and the problem that they're having is we can't keep treating things with chemicals. You know, we've been spraying since the 1950s with pesticides and in our yards, Roundup, all these products. These are really hurting our bees, but not just our bees, our hummingbirds, our bumblebees, our butterflies. We all hear about this, and it's due to these chemicals, and putting chemicals inside the hive certainly isn't helping, but this is my viewpoint on it. So depending on what kind of beekeeper you want to be, natural, non-chemical or not, there's great resources to...
What about purchasing products that have bee stuff in them? Like, you know, you see a lot of supplements with bee pollen. And,
right.
And, of course, you know, we can go get honey from you and salve and stuff. Is it okay to buy those things? Or
you know,
is that
has to
in
be,
jeopardy?
That has to be someone's own choice. I always say ask if you're working with a local beekeeper, ask them if they use chemicals and pesticides. Do you use miticides? Do you use chemicals? And if they get uncomfortable about it and they don't want to answer you, then the answer is probably yes. Or if, you know, they're kind of fudging around it, you know. Some people feel like chemicals are absolutely needed to keep their bees alive. I've been able to keep my bees alive, but sometimes I take bigger losses, or, you know, I lose a colony because it's been raiding another colony that's sick and has been... There's some diseases that you should just...
let run their course?
Well, and get rid of that hive and that equipment, and just to treat them and basically take the edge off, but they still have this deadly disease. They're spreading it because there's just so many bees and they all visit the same flowers. So regardless of how you want to keep bees, I just wanted to put a personal note out there about that there are ways to do it without chemicals, and there is a great book called Natural Beekeeping by Ross Conrad, and there's another organic beekeeping book that they're coming up with and should be publishing soon, and I don't know who the author is yet. I just read about it. But if you just want to learn how to be a beekeeper and learn more about bees, the Puget Sound Beekeepers, and there's, you know, if you're not listening in the local Seattle area, there should be a beekeeping organization in your area. You know, if you're in Ohio, Pennsylvania, there should be something everywhere. And look this up on the internet and find these people. And these people are a wealth of information. They'll answer questions. They'll help you get started. The Puget Sound Beekeepers has a mentor program. So if you're not sure if you want to do it, but you'd like to look at a hive and find out if you're not scared of them, then you can borrow a suit and look in with somebody else and learn about it. And I suggest that. A lot of people go out and buy a hive and then they're like, I don't like this. Or they realize how much work. It's a lot of work to be a beekeeper. It's heavy. Honey is very heavy. And I have a very labor-intensive job. And a lot of times people don't know that about honeybees and working with the honey. And so check it out first. Go with somebody else that has one. See if you like it. And if you just feel fascinated with it, then start with one. A lot of times people start with 10 or 20, and it's like, don't go there. Just start with one and see how you get through that season. Because the first time you work your bees, you're not going to have any clue what you're looking at, what you're dealing with. And you can look at books in black and white, and you can look at some colored pictures. But the, you know, beekeeping, there's a lot of science to it and a lot of observation. That's why I got into it and loved part of it was just this observation, the scientist kid of me that just loves dissecting things and figuring things out. I don't dissect my bees, but just looking at every aspect of the hive and just being thoroughly fascinated. Every day that I look at my bees, I learn something new and I'm just blown away with them and their grace and their beauty and their magnificence. I mean, I'm so impressed with them, and they serve us such a great purpose that I say if you're interested in bees and you want to be a beekeeper, check into it. One more hive and doing it a healthy way, that's one more, you know, set of bees out there. So, hook up with somebody that's got bees, or, you know, if you know your neighbor and they have bees, go suit up and look with them one day.
All right.
But you can start with a couple bee books and read about it and see if it's interesting.
All right. And it's important that we save all the bees that we can. So if you see swarms, remember that swarms are not dangerous.
No.
And call Kelly or go to the PugetSoundBees.org and get a keeper to come collect them.
And be conscious about sprays. I know I've said it so many times, but I feel like if I say it, people will really hear me that even Roundup, things like that, when you spray Roundup on those dandelions, first thing in spring, dandelions are the very first thing that our bees can work. They're so desperate for food. They're literally starving at that point of year. And they either live or they die. And it's awful to open up a hive and find them just all in there, you know, 20,000 of them just dead because they starved or because they went and worked a bunch of dandelion blossoms that somebody sprayed with all this Roundup or this, you know, the side streets of blackberries. And they go and they just love nectar so much they won't turn it away. And they, when you spray something like a chemical, where it's stored is in that nectary, where they make nectar and secrete it in the morning in the flower. And so those bees are so excited when they find that and they drink it up and then they get sick and they get a stomach ache. And they either will themselves to die away from the hive, which would explain why the numbers all of a sudden drop off, because they're trying to preserve their queen and their babies
right,
and everything
they're
else.
They're sick, they don't go back.
Or they're so desperate at that time, they do bring it back into the hive, and beeswax is so absorptive, and it holds those chemicals. And then when they're in there at night or in the winter and they're trapped in there, it's just like an atomic bomb. It's going off and it's either slowly killing them or it's destroying their immune systems. And this is just not bees. This is everything that all our nature close to the ground. It's like we have to wake up and realize this, that these chemicals are hurting them.
All right. We've got a caller waiting on the line here. Let's go ahead and take that before we run out of time. Going to Seattle, Carlene. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Kelly and Doug.
Hi. I have a question first for Kelly and then for Doug. Kelly, what you were just talking about, do you have a favorite honey that you are especially partial to?
You know, every honey I really like different. I love fireweed honey. It's a special fireweed. It's a flower that grows. It's one of the first flowers that grows after there's been a burn site. All these fires that we've had,
so
it's the first flower that comes back and repairs the earth. So I just think it's a pretty magnificent flower. I also love blueberry. I have blueberry honey. I love blueberry honey, raspberry. I don't know. It's hard to have a favorite. They all taste so different. If you're really getting local honey that's varietal and it's an individual source, you know, each one is so unique and different. I like them all.
Great.
So honeys do taste different depending on where the
pollen nectar source
comes from.
The nectar source, yeah.
And I have a question for Doug. I am personally really sensitive to everything from mosquito bites to bees and wasps, but I find that wasps are so much more long-lived in the reaction that your body has. Like the sting, the effect of the sting will last for weeks, you know, rather than many days for the bee sting. And I'm wondering, Kelly talked about how she treats bee stings. How do you treat wasps? Stings. I would really appreciate that.
Okay, what I've done over the years mostly is chew up some not only swallowing a couple of chlortrimeton, but chewing up some of it and then just wiping that on the sting site and putting a piece of duct tape over it, which is kind of crude in a way, but I never really had a bad reaction. You know, I've had a little swelling and it stings for a while, but usually it goes away. Another thing that I've done a couple of times is that there is the in a medical kit, some of them have this, what they call a snake bite, I guess it would be a snake bite medical kit, that they have these little suction cups, and to have one of those, and you know, sometimes you get stung in a place where you can't put one of those on, you know, maybe on your forehead or something, but it might work. But you know, if you can get that on there and try to draw out the venom instead of letting it continue to go into your system, might be an alternative to you know, putting up with that for a long time.
I the last time I got stung was actually I was up at my farm and I stepped on a bee, but I can't remember. I don't remember if it was a honeybee. I think it was a yellow jacket. well, I think about it, but I remember it was on my heel, and I could feel the, you know, the pain instantly, and it started to move up my leg while I was testing a tea tree oil hot spot treatment for dogs at that point. And I remembered that I had that, and on the label said, you know, use it on incense, you know, stings and stuff. So I ran back to the house and put this tea tree oil spray on it, and man, it worked instantly. And that tea tree oil just sucked that poison right out of there. And I could feel it reversing it, and it was over in no time, and I had absolutely no problem.
That is such a great tip. I do have tea tree oil. I'm going to definitely try it. Doug, would you tell me, please, what you know about the chemistry of the wasp venom that makes it so much more reactive in people?
It's all different in all the wasps. I know that, and again, there's different proteins and molecules in there, but. As far as what it actually is, I don't know that. I think that it sort of mainly depends on the individual and where the sting site is. It's going to determine how much of a reaction you have. And also, I don't know whether you've ever, I think that Kelly mentioned earlier about this meat tenderizer. I've had a couple of, well, over the years I've had more than a couple, but a number of people have told me that if you can put that, Adolph's is supposed to be the best.
Yeah, Adolph's meat tenderizer.
And put a little, and I got a testimonial a couple of years ago. I actually hadn't carried any of it, or if I did, it got lost over the years, but I had a testimonial a couple of years ago from a fella, and I went out immediately and bought some, and I have it with me now. And I think that that's a very good choice if you're going to try and localize the reaction, because it breaks the venom down. Apparently it's digested a little bit, just like the meat.
If you can get to the stings right away and start doing something, it's better. And you know, if you get stung on your arm and you know you're sensitive, don't just put the tenderizer or whatever product you're using, just go ahead and put it all over your whole arm, you know, just treat a bigger part of your body.
Really?
Yeah. Because it moves so quickly through your blood system. You know, it's venom. It's just like snake venom. It's moving through there, coursing through your veins. And so if you get to it right away and reduce the swelling, that really helps.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Sure. All right, Carlene, you're thanks
welcome.
For calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, now, we haven't talked a lot about other bees, but there are other bees besides honeybees. We've got bumblebees. They don't make honey per se.
They make just enough for them.
They make only enough for them, but they pollinate, so they're very important.
They're very important.
And boy, it seems I'm seeing lots of bumblebees around. I wonder if they are just simply not affected by the same.
Well, I think that just this press that we've been getting about the colony collapse. I think people are really taking note, and I think even people's positive intentions that we want to keep the bees, I think that helps. And
sure,
and
energy.
Yeah, so I think that the bumblebees, and people are noticing them more now. People weren't paying attention to the bees, and now you see a bee and you go, oh, I thought they were dying. There's one right there. And so it's in our consciousness now about these bees and the bumblebees. So we see them more because we're aware of them.
Yeah. Now, what about, and then there's what, mason bees?
Orchard mason bees, yes.
Orchard bees, and those are important.
And those are a good thing to keep if you don't want to keep honeybees, or you're worried about having a hive, or physically you can't lift that. Orchard mason bees are a great way to get started. There's a company called Knox, K-N-O-X. They sell, they're local in Bellingham, and they sell orchard mason bees, and they come in little block tubes that you can put in your trees or on the side of your house. And they do have a sting, but they're like 99.9% to 100 unlikely to sting you. They're very docile, and that's not even their focus. And they live for a short time in spring, and they're called mason bees because they actually excavate mud and dirt and build their little cells in existing holes or end of tubes of plants.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great bees. And I was going to mention for people that have bird houses out there that basically never get any birds. I'd like somebody to tell me they've caught a bird in a birdhouse. But a lot of time, bumblebees, especially the red-tailed bumblebees that Martha had found in the park, those are really attracted to those. And it's partially because as we continue to develop our property and our land and clear out our roadsides, we're getting rid of all these habitat for these bees. And so they find one of those bird nests and they just love them and they live in there. But then the people that own them are really unhappy that they have these bumblebees in their house, and they either exterminate them, get rid of them, and it's too late. So in the early spring or in the fall, close them up. Tape them up, keep them closed if you don't want bees. Otherwise, you're going to have to deal with it later, and most likely they're going to have to be killed, and that's unfortunate. So
yeah, and if you want to have bumblebees, I found searching online all kinds of information.
You can buy boxes.
Bumblebees. You can buy boxes, but they also suggested you get a teapot, you know, like a ceramic teapot with a spout. And you put, they said, like dryer lint or something inside it. And I guess that must be for them to start to make a hot
nest yeah.
with. So you put, like, some dryer lint inside that teapot, and then you bury it in the ground with just a little spout hole, and that the bumblebees will then make an underground nest with that. I thought that sounded pretty cool.
Yeah, there's lots of different nesting size boxes that you can buy for all different sorts of bees and little pollinators that we aren't even aware of that aren't stinging, and that they'll totally go and check those houses out. And Knox also sells those habitat boxes.
Yeah, people could actually take like a 2x4 or a 4x4 and just drill a certain size, like I think it's 3/8 or maybe it's 5/16, I'm not sure. Drill a number of holes in there, and you will attract the little, I think, pollinators, as you call them. You know,
those are the orchard bees, I think.
Well,
and other ones. There's teeny tiny little holes you can drill.
There's all kinds of what I guess we could call wild bees out there.
Uh-huh.
And I think you have to have a certain size, or else you'll be getting something you don't want. But
anything you got in those nesting box would be friendly. Anything going into a hole like that, they wouldn't hurt you. So you might just get a different species of a bee or a little critter.
Amazing. Well, when we're down to the last 10 minutes of the show, so what haven't we covered? Either of you got anything on your agenda we need to talk about that we haven't?
I don't know.
It's a vast subject.
It is. There's so much.
I want to remind everybody that if you have to get rid of wasps, hornets, yellow jackets.
Not honeybees.
Yeah, we don't get rid of honeybees. We call the beekeepers and get them collected. They're too important to kill. And we'll remember that if they're swarming, they're at their least dangerous. They're not dangerous at all. They're looking for a new home, and you need to call the beekeepers or go to PugetSoundBees.org or call Kelly so that somebody can come and collect them and give them a new home. But they're just the honeybees are in too much jeopardy to be killing honeybees. And our pollinators are important, but if you need to get rid of the wasps or the hornets, remember that you've got to use the poison-free. It is actually called poison-free wasp and hornet killer, made by Victor, and it is available at Home Depot and Ace Hardware's, other places like that. But it's actually called poison-free wasp and hornet killer by Victor. So that's real important. And let's give out your contact information again. If you need Kelly, it's Kelly Louvier. Her phone number is 425-891-8080. And she's the beekeeper, 425-891-8080. And you can also find Kelly and all of her honey. And what did you see? Make honey and
salve and honeycomb, soap. Honey mints, anything to do with honey.
Honey, you make that stuff. You can find her. You can either call her because she does phone orders,
mm-hmm.
or you can find her at the Duval Farmers Market every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. That's at First and Stella.
I won't be there this upcoming week. I'm harvesting honey all week long.
Okay, so you won't be there this
week. Yeah, but other than that, I'm there every week.
I'm going to try to get out to that.
It's a fun market. They've got an upcoming salsa contest and pie contest. You can, I don't know, it's fun.
Salsa, of course. Now, you say salsa to me, I think dancing, but I think you're not talking dancing. You're talking about making salsa.
Yes, and they judge it, and they have the jam contest. They have a little 8-year-old that he loves peanut butter and jelly, and so he's one of the judges. It's a fun market. It's little, but it's really fun.
Okay, so you won't be there this next week. I'm going to try to get out there
I love that.
Thursday in August,
okay.
So I can come see your stuff and get some honey and all of that. Now, if you need help with hornets, yellow jackets, or wasps, Doug is the guy. He's free, but he uses the venom to help humans. So if we got to kill them, they might as well serve a purpose. So Doug's number is 425-485-0103. That's 425-485-0103. Or you can email him at venomcollectforfree, and that's the number for venomcollectforfree at comcast.net.
There's also a book I thought I'd mention. It's you can get it at Barnes & Noble online. It's called The Backyard Beekeeper. It's a fairly new book, and it has color photos, which is pretty rare. Mm. The older books usually don't have color, but it has great, great information on starting your first hive, and it kind of covers everything, and it's not very expensive. It's under $25.
The Backyard Beekeeper. And you said Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Martha, there's also a book, I don't know whether it's still in print, but if people are interested in just a good general overall cross-section about knowledge about wasps, it's called The Complete Wasp.
The Complete Wasp.
Yeah, and it's only, the one that when I bought mine, it was $7.95 or something like that. It's very reasonable, and it's written by an English couple that went out and just studied them, all kinds of wasps, and it's very interesting, and people might try and see. I don't know what their names was, but it's called The Complete Wasp, and you know, it's a very good general knowledge about all the wasps that we have out there.
So I think our point is to recognize that these creatures, they all have jobs, they have a purpose, they're very, very important. We need to start honoring them and taking care of them and not be so quick to kill. I mean, especially the honeybees for sure, but the wasps and the hornets, I've kind of worked out a relationship with them. I've become so fascinated with them and watching them, and I know when I found out they ate bugs, I started talking to them and asked them to eat the aphids on my roses. And you know, I was just thinking about it now. I have not had aphids on my roses now for a couple of years. And I was just out checking my roses here recently, and I do, you know, and I see those, the little yellow jacket guys, you know, they're checking plants and they look for things, and so I just ask them to eat the bugs.
Animals are here to help us. That's their main source, even dogs. They want to help us.
And so that they all have a role and they're all important, so let's do our very best not to kill them. And remember, Doug, right, with the wasps and the hornets, those hives do not survive the winter. They die off for the winter, and they do not return to the same nest.
That's exactly right.
So that's important.
And they're bright yellow. Honeybees aren't bright yellow and black. Honeybees are more golden in color. So when you tell me it's a bee, make sure it's not bright yellow and black.
Now you're writing down fleas. You put down fleas with a question mark.
Well,
you want to know if they have a purpose too.
Well, that, and also you're going to cover that, but maybe we were out of time for that.
Oh, well, no, this is a tip that ran at 11 o'clock. It's recorded, so you can listen on the archive if you want to go about the fleas. But it's Martha's four-step flea plan, and that's the tip we ran at 11 o'clock. You can pick that up on the archives. But, yeah, even fleas serve a purpose, and it's amazing. I mean, fleas tend to be attracted to the unhealthy models, and that is kind of, you know, Mother Nature. But I have to say that I try to make my deals with fleas too, but they are not welcome on my animals or my house. But I don't use the chemicals. So,
yeah.
Is there any truth to that? Putting yeast, brewer's yeast, on top of your pet food that'll
Sometimes makes them unattractive to fleas. There is a product called the best product that I've found, and I do mention this in my flea tip, is a product called Bodyguard, which is a yeast and sulfur powder, and I have found that to be most effective. Now, Chip Salmon's a holistic pet center in Clackamas, Oregon. He's the author of the flea book that I talked about on my website. His product is a yeast and garlic formula, but I, in my own personal testing, I found the yeast and sulfur to work better. So there you go. Boy, you know, we're about out of time for today. One more time, I'm going to give you everybody's contact information. Kelly Louvier is our beekeeper. You can reach her at 425-891-8080 or on Thursdays, except for not this next Thursday.
Yep.
at the Duval Farmers Market on 1st and Stella, 3 to 7 p.m. on Thursdays till October 2nd. You can go to the beekeeper website, which is www.pugetsoundbees.org, for swarm information and for people that you need help. Doug can be reached at 425-485-0103 or emailed at venomcollectforfree@comcast.net. Thank you, Kelly, for coming in again. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Martha. It was a pleasure and fun. Thank you very much.
All right, and we'll have you again in next season, I'm sure, unless there's something going on with bees and wasps this fall that we need to know about. Thank you, Sandy. Always so glad to have you here. We know how much we miss you now. And Gary, thank you. All right, next week is Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. And we'll have a special report on the upcoming memorial and potluck for Kay that's on August 3rd. So we'll tell you all about that next week as well. And I hope you will be here for that. And remember, take care of those bees and those wasps and those hornets. Live with them if you can, because the wasps and the hornets won't return. Call Kelly if you need help with bees. There you go. All right, let me remind you, animals have feelings too, so treat your animal friends better than family, and please always be kind to open your heart and share your love with all living things. That includes bees, wasps, hornets, and yellow jackets. And we will talk to you again next week. This hour-